The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, we're back to have a look at the Premier League weekend with Robbie Savage and Derek McGovern. No Ron Atkinson, of course. Do you not know? This is a little clue for you.
This is Ron's predictions from the diary room. Get me out of here. Right sentiments, wrong program. I'll bet that Savage is giving me stick.
Yeah, Ron Atkinson in the Celebrity Big Brother house. We have got some predictions from him. We'll do it at the end. End of the podcast. Let you two have your say before all that. Anyone who watched last night, I mean, Derek, you didn't watch. Robbie, you did. Robbie, Ron got top billing. He was last on. I'm not sure if that means it's a low bar or not, but some of the people in the house with him, jeez. Wow.
He's happy with him. Yeah.
To be fair, most of the people look like me. I thought it was a Robbie Savage convention. Looks like a convention.
Lauren Harry's being the main one, I suppose.
What the f*** is Ron doing?
He'll soon be it.
Is Ron skint? Does he want to be a football manager again? Why, oh why, Ron, would you do it?
I think Ron he said how much he wanted, I think this is what he'd say, thinking that they wouldn't ever reach that level, and they've offered him it. So.
They made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Yeah, I think that's what they say normally. Yeah.
They offered to turn the mic off when you're in the ad breaks for him. You'll soon be hearing what he heard at all his previous clubs. Get Ron out! Get Ron out! You know, I think what it is that the producers are hoping that he will open up, you know, about that gap that scarred his career, signing Peter Davenport. Well, I think it's the interesting thing. Like, Ron was 12-1 when there were only rumours he was going to be in it, and now he's in it. He's gone out to 20-1.
I think Hill's a top price, aren't they? On Ron winning it at 20-1.
Well, why is that? And this is there. I mean, that's a kick in the teeth at Ronaldo, isn't it?
Because I think it's because of the others. You know, you look at some of the others, and they'd be more popular, wouldn't they? Charlotte Crosby, that lovely girl from Geordie Shore, who's got a.
To be fair, hey, the thing I love about Big Brother, when each new housemate walks in and they go, what's your name?
Did anyone say that to Ron, by the way?
No, I was saying, I don't know, actually. You know, you said that Ron was booed. Robbie.
Yeah, he got a few boos, almost definitely.
I thought there were. I said this to you on Twitter. I thought it was all the young ones in the crowd going, "Who? Who?" It's going
to
be.
But I've got to say,
you're not having it.
What? I'm not having. Listen, okay. If somebody said to me, "He's £5 million," you got to do it, but. Why?
Come on, you do it for less. Someone said to you, Robbie,
okay,
£1 million.
Maximum I'd do it for. Minimum I'd do it for, and this is on my kid's life, minimum $500,000.
Oh, okay, well, that's you know, $500,000, that's doable, I reckon.
How much, tax-free.
Derek, how much would it cost you to do Splash? with Peter Davenport. You come with a double axe.
A father would get me. Celebrity whore.
You are the only one of this. Well, obviously, I'm never going to do that sort of stuff. So you are the only one who hasn't done it. So we need to pick you a reality. Maybe the coach trip. Maybe that would be a good one for you.
Yes.
Coach trip.
That would be good. That would be for me.
We've got to talk about football while Ron's not here, of course.
Never mind. Hey, listen. Never mind picking one. He's got to try and pick a f***ing winner. He's a betting expert, isn't he?
Ron's a coach on a trip anyway, isn't he?
That's true, yeah.
Any idea how much he was for Ron?
No, I don't know. I mean, but I would...
I guess 150, 200.
Wouldn't pay that.
I think they would, you know.
Would they?
I think they would, yeah, because, I mean, there's been a couple of people dropped out. Yeah, there's been a couple of people dropped out. Let's not forget, Jedward got £1 million for doing it.
Well, I'm not sure. That's a rumour.
Well, I mean, it's probably somewhere near, though, isn't it? You know, you'd guess if it's somewhere near that. And the fact that he came out last probably means that he is the highest paid of them. And you'd hope he would be, because the rest, I mean, you know, you look at the girl from Geordie Shore, she'll be getting 15, 20 grand for doing it, won't she, I guess?
Yeah.
You know, but the betting, let me just run through the betting very quickly if you're interested. Charlotte Crosby, she's the girl from Geordie Shore, is a favourite now at 2-1. Louis Spence, 5-2. Carol McGiffin, 6-1. Dustin Diamond, he's Screech from Saved by the Bell, 7-1. Vicky Entwistle, who's from Corrie, 9-1. Abs is 14-1. Then Bruce Jones, Courtney Stodden, who's the 18-year-old glamour model type reality star from The USA is 16-1. 20-1 for Mario Falcone from the Only Way is Essex. Then there's Ron at 20-1. Sophie Ennerton, 33s. Lauren Harris, 40-1. And Daniel Ma is 50-1. The one thing I would say, if you're thinking about having a bet on Ron, he did say to me that he's hoping to be in Tenerife inside 10 days. So I don't know if that means he's going to purposely try and get himself out when he's allowed to, when his contract allows him to. But look, have fun.
That's a worry. That's probably why he's 20-1. He might. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Look, if he thought he was going to stick around, you know, happily, you'd back that, wouldn't you? It's the only kind of value there, 20-1.
Yeah, you'd have a go, wouldn't you? Let's have a look at the footy, shall we? Enough of Celebrity Big Brother. Fulham versus Arsenal is the first game we're going to have a look at. Fulham are 11-4. Arsenal are 23-20. And it's 23-10 the price for the draw. Arsenal beat Fenerbahce 3-0, so put that tie to bed, even if Fenerbahce do make it through. Giroud scoring another goal, so he's got 2-2 in competitive games now after their 3-1 defeat, of course, at the weekend to Aston Villa, and there were some very unhappy Arsenal fans. Lots of rumours about signings again this week, and some quite interesting ones. As for Fulham... Go on. Robbie, your phone line just dropped out there a minute. I'll see if it comes back. Fulham have been making signings themselves, actually players through the door, not just rumours. And they won their 1-0 at the weekend, started off their Premier League campaign with a away win, which is pretty rare. Interesting game this. Fulham meeting Arsenal at a very good time. It's 11-4, a bit big for this team who've got a bit of confidence are at home to the Gunners.
Well, I'm going for a draw. I think it'll be a draw. I think a 2-2 draw might be on the cards here. You know, they got Bent, will he be fit? They got Scott Parker, they got Berbatov, they got Ruiz, Taraf. I think there'll be goals, and I don't think Arsenal will get beat. But I can just imagine the Arsenal fans, you know, we got £70 million in the bank. We've just got into the Champions League. Well, they're going to go through, aren't they?
Yeah.
And can we just unveil our new signing? Drum roll.
Flamini. Wow. Unbelievable. I mean, if they get Benzema and players of that calibre, then that's different, isn't it?
But I remember the panic buys towards the end of a couple of transfer windows ago. Santos, Benayoun, But I think it'll be 2-2.
Interesting one, that one. Yeah, I'll get the price for that in a second when the market opens up. They've got a shocking record against Arsenal, Derek, if you're a head-to-head kind of better. Only against Man U have Fulham lost more Barclays Premier League games than Arsenal. They lost 17 to United and 16 to Arsenal. Put together that Arsenal had the best London derby record last year as well. They got 19 points from derbies in the capital. Can you make an argument? It's not quite the 3-1, but it's at home.
Yeah, I know. Victory under their belts. It's just the clientele they've got now, Fulham. I mean, Berbatov, Darren Bent, Abel Tarab. It's the laziest forward line in history. You're not going to get much tracking back from them, are you?
No.
In fact, you're not going to get much tracking forward. I'm tempted, you know, by 11-4, but by all accounts, they were a bit lucky against Sunderland. And Arsenal, obviously, nowhere near as bad as they looked against Villa, as proved in midweek. Difficult one to call. I can make a case for all three outcomes here, you know, Lee.
The other bit of news that could be interesting is a lot of people have been impressed by the signing of Stekelenburg, the keeper, but he's out with that shoulder problem. So all of a sudden, they've gone from having a reliable keeper every week, getting rid of him, bringing Stekelenburg in. Now they've got David Stockdale in that. So that could be a telling thing at the back, couldn't it? Your confidence is usually...
Well, Stockdale's highly rated,
yes,
isn't he?
Yeah. But he's obviously not particularly experienced, I suppose.
You know what? I was looking through the goal scorer markers in this match, and I went through Fulham first on the Hills list, and then I went through the Arsenal. And to be honest, I thought Fulham looked a better team on paper. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm going to go for them at 11-4 because I think, you know, Fulham could be one of these teams that when they're on one of their going days, they could really go. But they're not going to have too many of them. I'm going to take a chance. I'll have a going day, 11-4 at home to Arsenal.
The headline offers, if you're interested in these, Berbatov to score and Fulham to win, 6-1. Theo Walcott to score and Arsenal to win, 5-1. I know which one I'd like rather have on those of those two. Let's have a look at the next TV game. Next up is Aston Villa versus Liverpool. Aston Villa are 16-5. Liverpool are 21-20 away from home, and it's 11-5 the draw. Villa felt themselves a bit hard done to, losing 2-1 at Chelsea in the week. A couple of decisions going against their way, but that man Benteke, it's 3-2 now in the Premier League, and of course he had a nice little record against Liverpool last year. What did you think of Liverpool last weekend, Derek? Played the ball nice, did a lot of nice stuff, but could have drawn 1-1 with that penalty.
Exactly, yeah. It would have saved me a few bob against Robbie as well. Yeah, I thought they were great, actually. Well, I mean, I only saw the highlights, but I've spoken to people who were at the game, and you know, they were well made up with Liverpool. If they can carry on like that, and it's the old failing, isn't it? You know, Liverpool have so many shots on target, just can't get the goals. It was the old failing again, and it almost came back to haunt them. But they're going to muller some teams this season. And Villa, you could say they've gone through the well a bit too often already, couldn't you? You know, Chelsea away, Arsenal away, and now Liverpool at home. There shouldn't be any early season fitness worries, obviously, but you never know. I think Liverpool, Villa had a team I've always said I'll back away from home. I'd taste the odds because he's just set up to counter attack. At home, I'm always prepared to oppose him. And I think Liverpool are good things here.
Robbie,
I want to. What did Derek say at the beginning? We had a bet last week, didn't we? And I had.
You laid. You won. So I owe you more money, Rob.
Give me £400.
No. Yeah. I laid you Liverpool. So you had £200. No, it wasn't £200, was it?
Ron said a pound.
I was laying you. I was laying you Liverpool, wasn't I? You had £200 at 4-11 Liverpool, so it was about £80, an extra £80 or something.
I'll still be £280 now. Yeah.
This is going up and up.
End of season payout. Wait till the end of the season. We'll see where we stand then.
Robbie, last week there was a lot of stats kicking around about Liverpool and how many shots had had the previous season, how blah 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 blah. And I didn't mention any of it because I thought, well, without Suarez, it's a little bit redundant. Well, actually, they had more shots than anyone else on the opening weekend in the Premier League. So the style of play remains, whether Suarez is in the team or not. You look at someone like Sturridge, who scored 7 in his last 6 Premier League appearances. They don't concede many to Villa except Benteke. Do you think this could be? Is Derek right? Could this be a Liverpool win?
Yeah, it could be. It could be a draw, or it could be a Liverpool win.
True, it's very true.
Or a Villa win. I think Villa might just edge. I think I'm going to go 2-1 Villa. I think Benteke, obviously, to get the last goal is probably a decent bet. I thought Liverpool were impressive last week, to be fair, and I thought Stoke at times played some decent stuff as well. But as you rightly said, it could have ended 1-1. I think Villa have started the season exceptionally well. Like Bon Lahore looks terrific, you know, his pace and his movement, Benteke, Weimann, and defensively look okay. So I think that Villa at home might just nick it 2-1, but I wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool won, if you know what I mean.
Mm, yeah, 2-1 Villa is 11-1. The Benteke price is 6-4 to score any time, which and that's born out of the fact that they've got a pretty poor record against Liverpool. 7-1 to score 2 or more. He's 11-2 to score first, 11-2 to score last, and 40-1 to get a hat trick. If you think he will score and Villa will win, it's 5-1, which would fit Robbie's bet as well. Sturridge to score and Liverpool to win is 3-1, and they've also put a special out there about Gerrard, because Gerrard's scored more goals against Villa than any other team, 11 in his career, and it's 5-1 for him to score and Liverpool to win.
I tell you what, Daddy, he's up here. You owe me £280. Yeah. I'll have Villa, you have Liverpool.
I'll wait for a bet that I'm more confident about.
There you go.
Cardiff Man City on Sunday. Cardiff are 8-1. The draw's 11-4. Manchester City 8-15 to win this one. More headline offers. I'll give you those in a second. Robbie, you covered the opening game for Manchester City against Newcastle. They were very impressive, albeit Newcastle were off colour. Whether it was because of the transfer speculation beforehand or not, they were no match for City. You were impressed by them, weren't you?
Oh, self-destruct, isn't it, Newcastle? The Kabay situation. You know, who leaks that bid? Is it Newcastle who leaked that bid? Is it the player? Is it Arsenal? So obviously you had that distraction. Then you've got Stephen Taylor, senseless. Then you've got Gutierrez pulling his hamstring. Everything just went wrong for Newcastle on that in them 24 hours. I think Newcastle are a very, very poor team, to be fair. You know, you look at it on paper, you know, they've got some exceptional players, but In this transfer window, if I was them, I would seriously think about investing in some real hard English steel. You know, like I know Milner's been there, but I'm one that Gareth Barry. Their play will be limited at Man City, I believe. But I would let, if you look at the team players they've bought, because I think there's, you know, too much, you know, of a French influence in the changing room. Mm. So Man City really turned up. They were absolutely fantastic. I don't doubt them. I thought they shut the ball down well. They won it back quick. They were on the front foot. Jekyll looked transformed. The moving in behind. And the biggest thing was Navas on that right-hand side. You know, he put 10 crosses in, and they all found his man. He picks people out, which, you know, is an art for a winger, and I think they'll go to Cardiff. Stonewall City win just by how many. Can Cardiff score? I'm not so sure. I think the piece in the jigsaw for City is the centre-half. I thought Lescott's gone off injured. Lescott looked uncomfortable on the ball. The Stas is injured. Another centre-half. On that performance, you've got to say, makes them title favourites, and I think they'll win to nil. But how many? Is it 2 or 3 nil?
Well, 2-0 for City is 13-2. 3-0 is 9-1. Derek, the thing that the best thing about Cardiff last year was their home form. They won more points at home than any other Championship side. 51 points. This is a different, obviously a huge step up for them. They looked a lot poorer than I thought they would last weekend. And it wasn't that hard a start for them at West Ham. They looked off the pace and only had one shot on goal as well.
Yeah, I was really disappointed with them. I thought they'd beat West Ham, to be honest. I was impressed with them last season, but I couldn't believe how poor they were. So I can't back them against City, who Robbie's right. They were just sensational against Newcastle. I mean, it was only Newcastle who were rubbish. But still, you know, City just looked fantastic. And they'll win this one. I can't see any other results. And City to win to nil, 29-20. I mean, that looks a tremendous bet. That's 6-4 almost, isn't it, for City to win to nil. What a bet that is.
Yeah, some offers here. Aguero to score and City to win is 7-4. City to score in the first 15 minutes is 3-1. And they did that six times in the Premier League last season. Wouldn't be a big surprise if they did it.
My bet of the week is City to win to nil.
In there straight away. The one that Derek just put up there. Next up, nicked it. Next up, let's have a look at the big one on Monday night. It's Manchester United versus Chelsea. 6-4 Man United, 11-5 Chelsea, 21-10 the price of the draw. Mourinho says he won't be making a bid for Rooney before that game because ethically it's right. He's great quality, great value, isn't he? But he's of course got a bit of a sign over Manchester United, a bit of a sign over Sir Alex Ferguson, one of the very few managers who had that. Very early in the season, Robbie, isn't it, to have this kind of game? You feel a bit uneasy about it in the fact that you don't quite know where everyone is. Chelsea looked great in the first half of the first league game, off the boil in the second half, didn't look overly impressive against Villa. Man United didn't look like they were going to batter Swansea. Suddenly, everything that fell to Robin van Persie, he just started the season amazingly well. Surely there's got to be goals in this game.
Well, looking at the players on the team sheets, you know, who they're going to select, who got goals, and I think there will be. I think 3-2 is a very good bet. It could go either way. I wouldn't be surprised if Chelsea won 3-2, but I think United will win 3-2. Welbeck looked on fine form last weekend too. You know, De Bruyne looked good for Chelsea. Then they brought Mata in midweek. They still got Hazard, Oscar. Who will he play up front? You know, linked with Willian, you know, are they going to nick him off Spurs? Or, you know, so it's amazing. I think Mourinho's great. It's just at his press conferences, you know, when he was saying about Lambert the other day, you know, I was once a young manager, and he said he's just brilliant value. Is it great, you know, what he's saying about Rooney, that we won't make are they going back from after the 26th? He might make another bid. I think the Gareth, I don't know what Dell thinks, but I think the Bale move will trigger everything. I think that's what everybody's waiting for, to see. Will Ronaldo then go to United? Will then Rooney go to Chelsea? I don't know, but I'll go Chelsea to get beat 3-2.
Wow. 3-2 scoreline for Man United is 25-1. I mean, that kind of scoreline was pretty, that kind of thing. I mean, you look back to, you know, 2012, it was 3-3. It was 3-2 to Man United at Stamford Bridge in 2012 as well. There was the League Cup game, which is a bit different, but that finished 5-4 after extra time. There was a 2-2 in the FA Cup. But the last two, Derek, have both been 1-0s to Chelsea. They could become the first ever team to win twice at Old Trafford in a calendar year if they beat them.
Yeah, well, I think they will as well. I think they're a better team than Man United. I said that last season, even though they were going through a bad time under Rafa and the old manager. I remember when they were in disarray, Chelsea, and they marmalised United in the second half of one game in that 2-2 draw. And I just think they're a better all-round side. Both teams to score is almost 1-2 with Hill, so it gives you an idea what they're expecting. And Chelsea, both teams to score and Chelsea to win 4-1 with Hill. I like the look of that, you know. I can't see it being a low-scoring game with the players on show, but I do think Chelsea will nick it.
Yeah, with that in mind, I don't know if you've seen...
Word of the week. Marmalised.
Yeah, that's a good word, that, isn't it?
Great word.
The goal scorer prices, if you think there's going to be goals in there, I mean, there's no odds on price. 5-4 for Robin van Persie to score is a cracking price. You've got 2-1 Hernandez, who loves scoring against Chelsea. He scored 6 of his last 9 appearances against Chelsea. If you look at the Chelsea lineup as well, Mata scored in each of his last 3 Premier League games between Chelsea and Man United. 5-1 any time, Mata. I mean, that's a big price. So there's lots of value on the goal scorers. Let's have a look at the non-TV games, shall we? Starting with Everton versus West Brom. 8-13 the price for Everton. It's 5-1 West Brom and 13-5 the price of the draw. The big news at West Brom this week is Nicholas Anelka suddenly saying, "Do you know what? I'm going to retire. I'm not having this anymore. I'm off." Ron was worried about West Brom's season, Derek, and they look a bit powder puff, don't they? They look a bit nice. Yeah. Not a lot of edge to them, is there?
Well, you do worry about them. I saw the quotes today about Anelka. He's not in a good place, apparently, and because his agents have died. They're not in a good place being the Hawthorns, I think, because this is a season that's... But, you know, I think it's going to be a real struggle for them. They've lost the strikers, Lukaku and... Adam Wingy doesn't seem to be at it. But, you know, I looked at this game and thought Everton are going to win this. But 8-13 Everton.
It's very short, isn't it?
5-1 West Brom. You know what, Lee? I'm going to have to back West Brom because on value grounds. It ticks every box in my value book, this one. Everton are too short, even though I think they'll win. Does that sound daft? It isn't daft. Yeah. The people listening, it isn't daft. I think Everton will win, but I'll be back in West Brom at 5-1.
Robbie, which way do you go on this one? I mean, I'm going to be intrigued to see if he tightens that defence up, because they conceded 2 in his first game and they were the 5th tightest defence last year.
I think Everton will continue to concede goals, but, you know, against West Brom at home, I think they should have, you know, too much. And with Ross Barkley's performance... Wow, you know, is he young? You know, he looks like Wayne Rooney. Is in his build and his, you know, low sense of gravity, and his performance at Norwich was sensational. He marmalised Norwich.
Barkley is a terrific player. Everybody on Merseyside knows about Barkley. But the one thing I would count against him, I think, going to the very top, is that he isn't the fastest player around. And you know, it's speed is everything in the Premier League, isn't it? That's one thing. That's his only.
Scores player. Wasn't fast.
Pardon?
Goals, he wasn't fast.
No,
that's true. Yeah. He's a terrific player. I mean, you see, what you worry, like Moyes is trying to nick Fellaini and Baines from Everton.
Fellaini's not fast.
I know, and you wonder why he's not going for Barkley though, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, he should know better than anybody.
Ricky Lambert's not fast.
No.
Yeah. I know. There are plenty of players. Well, so it doesn't matter then, Rob. Okay, the speed doesn't matter in the Premier League.
I'm just saying, Del Boy. All right, Terry.
The headline writers just want him to. You want Barkley to win something like a Player of the Year, then you could just put the Barkley's Premier League. Everton have, despite the defensive frailties, possibly they had the highest possession figure and best passing accuracy on the first weekend of the Premier League. If you're interested in that sort of stuff. Next up on the fixture list for us is Hull versus Norwich, 6-4 Hull. 15-8 Norwich, 11-5 the price for the draw. Norwich adding yet more players to their squad and more strikers as well. Hull City, I mean, they were up against Chelsea, so it's maybe a little bit harsh, Derek, but another team who looked painfully short, didn't they? It'd be interesting to see how they go at home, because that's obviously where they need to pick up most of their points. But Norwich, Norwich only drew 2-2, but scoring goals, and that's what you want from them.
Yeah, they made some good signings, Norwich, but then again, so have Hull. I think we'll see better from Hull. It was almost a game where the manager, Steve Bruce, had said, well, we ain't going to win this. We'll, you know, keep our powder dry for games against teams around us, and Norwich could be one of them. It would be impossible to have a strong opinion on this game. Because no one could. I'm going to sit on the fence and go for the draw. I really have not got a clue about this one.
Robbie, Hull versus Norwich.
I agree with Del. If Hull could win, Norwich could be a draw. I just go best odds. As a teacher, what's the best odds? If I had a 10 in my hand and I went to the bookies and said what's the best odds?
The draw, 11-5.
I'll go the draw then.
Yep, £22 back for your tenner if that lands. Newcastle West Ham is next up. Newcastle 7-5, 11-5 the draw. West Ham 2-1. Big Sam going back up to the northeast. Robbie's already given his view on Newcastle and the problems that they face. And you know, it's hard to argue with any of what you said there, Robbie. Big game for them, you know. First game at home of the season. Yeah. This is West Ham looked impressive last week, albeit you know maybe against a Cardiff team who got caught in the headlights a little bit. But you know, Ron always says, doesn't he, that Big Sam knows how to get results in this division against the lesser teams, if you like. And Newcastle are in that bracket.
I think he'll go up there and win. I think he will. I think can you know 50,000 Newcastle fans raise their team for all the. You know, they were shouting spend some, you know, big money the other night to the Newcastle manager and board. I got a feeling for West Ham. I think it'll be a low-scoring game. You know, 1-0 West Ham, will they nick it with a goal? His Carroll's not fit, yeah, is he?
No.
He's, you know, so... I just think a low-scoring game, West Ham to win it. But you know, can Newcastle give a reaction to their abysmal performance the other night? But when you look at them on paper, Dale, they've got some good players.
Well, this week, Hatton Ben Harper was saying their aim. This was after the opening defeat. Their aim is a top five position. I mean,
he's a good player, Derek.
Yeah. Well, he is. He's on the ball. He's not too good when he hasn't got the ball, is he? Yeah. I mean, it's clear from those what we saw on Monday night that Newcastle need reinforcements. And luckily, Joe Kinnear has a database of the world's top players. It's called Wikipedia. I mean, what is going on at that club? You know, the Kabay business, I mean, his head wasn't turned, was it? It was almost certain he got the bid and they kept him out of the firing line to avoid injury. In other words, he's definitely going to be going. They're just waiting for the price to go up a little bit. The rubbish Newcastle last season, well, why should they do any better than they did last season when they haven't signed anybody, apart from Remy, who's always injured and could be in the nick in a few weeks' time? You know, they're going to have a season of struggle, and I'll be amazed if West Ham's odds don't shorten. I think they're good things here, West Ham.
Yeah. Interestingly, if they do lose this Newcastle, it'll be the first time they've ever lost four games in a row in the Premier League. Counteract to that, West Ham have only won one of the last 14 away games. 1-1, drawn 3, lost 10. So something's kind of got to give in that, unless of course it's a draw at 11-5. Southampton strengthened yet again this week. They're 3-4 to win at home against Sunderland, who are 9-2. The draw yet again, 11-5. Osvaldo, Robbie compared him to a mix between David Beckham and Johnny Depp yesterday, Derek, which ain't bad, is it? You know, if you're going to pick two guys, I mean, maybe you chuck a little bit of Brad Pitt in there if you wanted to. But
I thought you were describing me there for a minute.
I mean, I didn't want to embarrass you, to be honest. I mean, but great signings. I mean, you know, the way they played last week as well, they look good. You know, they got the 1-0 win.
Derek's the cross between Dalboy and Ian Dowie.
what a lovely
lovely
amalgamation that would be. Yeah, very impressive though. I mean, they left it late to score the winner, to be fair, Southampton. But there'll be some great atmosphere at St Mary's for them, won't there?
Yeah. Oh well, they've made some great signs. I said last week in the bulletin on Friday that they decide to keep on the right side of, but you know, a team to keep on the right side of, because I think they'll go from strength to strength. That said, you know, their odds on to beat a team, Sunderland, that's been in the Premier League for a while now. They've they played really well, apparently, against Fulham last week, despite losing. And Sunderland are 9-2. I think there's been an overreaction to Southampton, you know. Again, it's a bit like the Everton-West Brom game. Who do I think will win? Southampton. Would I be backing their odds on? None in a month of. I'm going to go for Sunderland on value grounds alone. I just think there's a shade of value for some of these away teams this weekend.
Yeah, and I don't think they played that bad last week. Osvaldo scored plenty of goals in Serie A, Robbie, for Roma. 16, only Cavani and Di Natale scored more than him last season.
Great signing.
Yeah, it looks a great signing. I mean, he's one of those players who anything could happen. You know, you might get a red card as much as get a goal. We'll have a look at the price for him just to score in a second or two. But what do you make of this one, Southampton at home to Sunderland?
Well, Southampton odds on, you know, since listening to Dell over the past couple of years, I do realise now that I've got to do this for my betting head on and not my footballing head, because if I was going to the game and Southampton odds on, you're thinking, you know, so I think Southampton will win. I do. And I don't think there's no question about that. But what kind of bet can you put on that's going to give you good odds with Southampton's win? Is it the correct score? Is it, what is it? I mean, what's the...
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends. I mean, you got... correct score. I mean, looking at like what? I mean, the thing is, with Southampton is, despite their play, they don't score many goals. I think they've scored 3 goals in the last 6 Premier League matches, spanning back to last season. And it, kind of the game last week took that structure as well. I mean, Southampton to win 1-0 is 11-2. Under what? I mean, maybe go low on the goals.
Yeah, you don't think a lot about. But I was, you know, we're looking at Sunderland have bought that. Is it Mavris?
Yeah.
Panathinaikos, looking at, you know, on TV that, you know, if your Sunderland fans are going to get, you know, overjoyed with the signing, you're looking at, instead of picture him scoring goals or doing a great pass or winning a great tackle, they had him coming on as sub.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Oh, this is our new side, though. He's coming on as a sub. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. He came on well, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he ran on very, very energetically.
I mean, but do you know what I mean, Dale? It's funny that you're thinking they're going to show
him. That's the best of him. That's on his, you know, that's the clip the agents are sending round to managers. Look at the way he comes on the pitch. I mean, Osvaldo was the one, isn't he? He could be a big hit. And, yeah, 6-5 to score. He's scoring big goals for fun in Italy, you know. So yeah. That takes some doing that. You know, he's got I read somewhere this week, he's got a life-size statue of Mick Jagger in his living room, and Ricky Lambert moves like it. I think he'll do well as Valdo this season. And so, yeah, 6-5 to score, I wouldn't put anyone off that, but I just think Sunderland are value 9-2.
Yeah, that's fair enough, yeah. So you just go for the best price is Sunderland, Robbie, if you're looking at that, if you're looking at it from that perspective.
Southampton will win.
Yeah, well, Southampton to win and Osvaldo to score is 9-5, so that might be another way in. Stoke versus Crystal Palace is the penultimate game we'll look at. Stoke are odds on here, 10-11. 12-5 the draw, Palace 3-1. Palace really did look like a championship side caught in the headlights, Derek, didn't they? They probably looked, with 10 minutes to go, they suddenly threw caution to the wind and went and attacked Spurs and maybe could have got something out of it. But there was one incident when Phillips came on, and the ball got pumped over the top, and you think, wow, this is a chance. And it's like they have to take 2 touches every time they get the ball, which is just not good enough in this division, is it?
No, they didn't look as though there were no belief in the team. And you know, you look at what they've done to strengthen the side since going up, and they haven't. The season, their form at the end of last season tailed off, didn't it? I don't think they had an away win in the league since March, apart from a playoff win. So I can't really back them at 3-1 here. It goes against the grain to back Stoker odds on, because they were poor against Liverpool last week, even though they nearly got a draw. But I think they'll have too much in every department. I just think they'll have too much for Palace. So I'm going to go Stoke 10-11 here.
We'll try to get Robbie back. We'll move on to the final game of the weekend, Derek, which is Tottenham versus Swansea. Both had big wins in the Europa League on Thursday night. Tottenham, at one point you thought they were going to get about 10 or 12 against against the Georgian opposition. Swansea also scored a few goals as well. Interesting game this, isn't it? I mean, I was wondering about Swansea last week, watching them against Man United, if teams were going to start to figure them out. When they're allowed to play decent, their style, they're lovely to watch, Derek, but... Yeah. But you just wonder if they're going to start to get found out by the better clubs this season.
Well, that's it. That's the phrase. They were found out, weren't they? Swansea will beat mediocre opposition and beat them well. But when they're coming up against the big teams, you know, they're not really doing it, are they? And I think Tottenham, a couple of seasons ago, Lee, Tottenham are odds on, long odds on territory like this, 4-6. You wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. But now they deserve to be rated as among the very best, the Cities and the Chelseas. I think the signings they've made. I think they've got to make a good fist of going for the title this season, Tottenham. That's how highly I rate them, and they're not going to lose this either. I think I've got a feeling they'll win this comfortably, you know. I might even back them on the handicap market, you know, minus a goal, 8-5, Tottenham.
Robbie's back. Robbie, we just moved on to the final game, Tottenham-Swansea. But before that, just get your thoughts on Stoke versus Crystal Palace.
Stoke to win the beat Palace.
Stoke to beat Palace, yeah. What about Tottenham Swansea, Robbie? Just to finish off with 4-6 Tottenham. Swansea are 5-1, 12-5 the draw.
You got to go Tottenham.
Bets of the week.
City to nil.
Yeah, you're going City to nil, aren't you?
What happened last week?
No one won.
Oh, right.
So it wasn't a brilliant start. Ron, actually, let me remember. Ron went Lambert to score in a Southampton win.
Did he?
Yes, that's what he picked out. I'll play Ron.
Last week.
No, this week. No, he's lost as well. He had 2-2 West Brom, didn't he, last week? So he's gone Lambert to score in a Southampton win. That's 5-2. That's for this week, of course. They're playing Sunderland at home. Derek?
I'm going to go for West Brom or the draw at Everton. I think West Brom are overpriced, but the draw worries me. So I'm going to go for that at 7-5. So basically, it cops for me unless Everton win.
So West Brom and the draw...
7-5.
Decent price, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It seems a bit big. Thank you, chaps. Brilliant. Thanks for your time. And we'll speak next week.
Ron will be back next week. Don't worry.
I don't know when the first eviction is. I'll have to find out when it is. Brilliant. Cheers, guys.
See you later. Lads.
Thanks. Bye. Yeah, thanks to Robbie and to Derek. Ron Atkinson is in the Big Brother house, as we well know. But we have got his prediction still. So live, in inverted commas, from the diary room. Ron Atkinson's predictions for the Premier League weekend.
This is Ron's predictions from the diary room. Lunchtime kick-off, Fulham against Arsenal. Arsenal, a bad result last weekend. Don't know how they got in midweek, because they don't tell us anything in here. I'm looking for Arsenal to make some sort of amends, but Fulham got away to a good start. They're attacking options, Tarabet, Bent, and of course Berbatov. I would think the best result Arsenal could possibly hope for is a draw, but I would be having a tendency on this one to be fancying Fulham. So I go for Fulham to a narrow victory. In the afternoon, we've got Everton and West Brom. I think Everton, home game, Martinez making his debut there. I think Everton, I think West Brom are going to have a long struggle this season. So I think Everton, decent start last week, probably should have won at Norwich the way the game was going, but I would think I would expect them to take full home advantage. I'd expect Everton to win this one. Holland-Norwich, decent result last weekend, have reinforced, or look to have reinforced. I think, actually, both teams will be very happy with a draw, and I think that's the most likely outcome of it. Newcastle at West Ham. Just got a feeling West Ham this season are going to be a bit more difficult to beat away from home. Good result and well-deserved last weekend. Newcastle looked, well, they were a bit empty. It was a bad rub of the green that first match to have to go and play a Man City with all the new players in and a good feel-good factor about the place. But I think Sam Allardyce will organise his side to such an extent that although I think Newcastle have still got a good playing personnel, looking at them man for man, they still look a decent team. I think West Ham can set up there and get a draw out of the game. Southampton play the other northeasterners, Sunderland. You know my feeling about Sunderland. I feel that Sunderland are going to have certainly it's going to be a roller coaster of a ride. Southampton, on the other hand, they look to have invested well. They've got Ricky Lambert, who's running above the ground. Very surprised if Sunderland got anything out of the game. I'd be a strong fancy there for Southampton. Stoke City versus Palace. Once again, I think, like most people, that Palace are going to have a long, hard season. A lot of people have predicted Stoke to be not far above them. I thought it was impressive signs at Anfield last weekend, and you know, if the lad tucks the penalty away, they've come away with a draw, which would probably have been slightly against the run of the play, but they didn't disgrace themselves. Their performance level was okay. I would expect Stoke to beat Palace. Last one up on the afternoon is the TV game, which unfortunately I won't watch. And certainly if I hadn't been in this diary room, I'd have been at the game. Villa and Liverpool. It's always a great fixture, this. Villa, way to a flyer. Great performance at Arsenal. Benteke scoring goals. Scored goals in the fixture last year, albeit the one at Anfield. Liverpool, if they're going to make any inroads on this, would be looking to come out with some sort of a result. I think it'll be. I think both sides will score. I wouldn't put anybody against having a bet on Benteke. I've got a fancy that Liverpool might shade it, you know, 2-1. I know there'll be a, you know, Villa's first home game. And don't forget, I'm saying this without the evidence because I've been locked away about what happened against Chelsea. Yeah, I think Liverpool, I've got a feeling Liverpool might sneak it 2-1. Cardiff versus Man City. Were they impressive on Monday night against Newcastle? You know, they won in a counter. When I looked at the players that weren't playing, I thought they'd walk into most Premiership sides. So it's a very difficult initial game for Cardiff at home. I think Cardiff will give a good account of themselves, as I think they will this season. But looking at Manchester City, Melky Mackay, who's often, we've often said that we've got a healthy respect for on this programme, he's going to have to organise and plan like he's never had to plan before, I think, in his Cardiff managerial career. But I can't see any other results looking at that than a Cardiff victory, sorry, a Manchester City victory. The only little downside is, will they have a slight weak centre, you know, if company's not in the team, and we saw last season when he was missing how affected they are by that. When you look at the firepower, when you look at the quality in midfield they have, when you look, for argument's sake, at the pace of Navas on the right wing, I honestly can't make a case. The only case you can make for Cardiff is if Man City turn in the sort of performance they did last season at Southampton and one or two other places like that, but I think there are other reasons for that. So I'm fully expecting Man City to win and win to nothing. After that, we got Tottenham and Swansea. As I say, I think Tottenham will have a good season. I think they could be a bit of a surprise packet, actually. When I say a surprise packet, people think they'll be challenging for the fourth spot. If they get on a run, they could be challenging for higher than that. They've got quite a good personnel now, and Swansea, nice, neat, tidy pass. I thought the score flattered Man U the other day, but that's the difference between having top-line finishers in your side. Interesting to see how the front two of Swansea do. Michu had a great season last year, phenomenal season. Surprised nobody signed him. And to be paired up with the new lad who got his scoreline off on last week against Man City. You know, they are a threat. They carry a threat, but I think Tottenham, I look at Tottenham and I think Tottenham this year will show more resilience. Right, Gareth Bale may or may not play, but they ought to be able to cope with him. I was just looking through their personnel when you see people like Dembele and people like that, people you tend to forget. You think they have got some smashing players. I can't see anything else than that, but apart from a Tottenham v Swansea. Monday night, another classic. We've got the big one, Man U and Chelsea. Once again, written without the hindsight of what's happened in Chelsea's case against the Villa. Chelsea have a good track record at Man U. And I keep looking at this, and I keep looking at the Mourinho factor. And Mourinho had a great... And I know managers don't score from off the bench, but Mourinho, to my mind, had a great record, didn't he? Against certainly against Fergie, and certainly at Old Trafford, he's had many great wins, including the one last year they flew with Real Madrid. I just got a fancy that Chelsea might nick them here 2-1. Now for the week, I'm going to go Southampton to beat Sunderland. Fancy Lambert to score. But that would be my now for the week, Southampton to beat Sunderland.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.